Good morning, happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I'd like to bring a message to you today from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. And I've entitled this, Loving and Hating to the Glory of God. As we begin this today, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we invite your Spirit to guide us through our study. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to this teaching, that we would hear your voice speaking to us. Help us not only to hear, Lord, but to be able to do what you're telling us. And we're asking this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we find that in the Bible, there are great truths that are taught by contrast. In fact, I think of some. In Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, we have the story there of the Pharisee and the publican. Two different people, a contrast. Then we have a story in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, about the prodigal son and his brother. Also, we have in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, a story of the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, and their differing attitudes. Our text, I believe that as we looked at this opening text today, it emphasizes a great truth using these contrasts to teach a lesson for each one of us. I believe that Jesus is a lover who knows how to hate. And that sounds pretty strange, doesn't it? It sounds real strange. In fact, in the Bible, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And these are strong words coming from Jesus, telling us to hate. Isn't that confusing? It sounds confusing to me when I read through it. But who can claim to be a child of God and yet hate his parents, to hate his wife, to hate his brethren, and to even hate his own life personally? How can these things be? It seems like there is some confusion here that is being taught by the Lord. The interpretation of our Lord's words focus on this little word called hate. And if we understand the meaning of this word hate, I think we'll be able to see the reasonableness of what our Lord is trying to say in this statement. The Greek word for hate is mizio. It almost sounds like misery, doesn't it? In this Greek word, the general concept of that word, if you look it up in a Strong's exhaustive concordance, you'll see that this word hate for this particular text is to feel an intense aversion to detest, to abhor, or to dislike exceedingly, or to persecute. But there's another thought along with that. If you look at that, it also says to love less. Now we make some sense of this text. Because what Jesus is really saying here in this text is that he wants us to love other people less than we do him. That's the concept. Not that he wants us to hate each other. He wants us to love other things of this world less than we love him. He wants to be number one. He wants to be first in your life and mine. And Jesus wants us to love him with all of our heart, mind, body. He wants us to love him completely and fully. And he says that we should love one another in Matthew chapter 22 as we love ourselves. So those statements in Matthew chapter 22 and in Luke chapter 14 seem to be in contradiction to each other. But when we understand the little word hate, that Jesus wants us to love everything else in this world less than we love him, it all begins to make sense, doesn't it? That's why it's important, friends, for us to do some word studies in our study with the Lord. We can't just take things at face value and just skim over things and think, well, God wants me to hate everybody. You know, if that's the case, I think the statement that my brother-in-law told me once, he said, I'm not prejudiced. I hate everybody. That would make sense in that statement, wouldn't it? But that's not what Jesus is trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us that he is number one, that he wants to be first in our life, that we're to love him more than everything else, more than our families, more than our friends, more than our money, more than our possessions. Love Jesus more than anything else in the world. That's the first and greatest commandment, is to love God with all of our heart. And that's what God wants us to do. Matthew, in fact, if you look in Matthew chapter 10, at verse number 37, Matthew doesn't use the same word in expressing the same concept or thought that Jesus brought out. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 37, this is how Matthew explains it. He says here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see how he brings it out? The same thing that Jesus taught, Luke used a different word. In fact, when you look at what Matthew is saying, he uses the word for love, phileo. That means this brotherly kind of love, this love that would be for each of us, loving one another as Jesus loves us. So this makes sense. I think it clarifies what Luke would say in Luke chapter 14 at verses 25 through 35. And in knowing what hate is, understanding that it is to love less and not to be angry at people and detest them and to abhor them or to persecute them. It does have that meaning, but what Jesus is trying to bring out is that we need to love him more. Loving and hating to the glory of God means to make him and his word and his work first and foremost in our lives. Can you agree with that? Excuse me a minute. Jesus wants us to love him and his word and his work more than anything else. Can you agree with that?
Amen.
Thank you. And I hope those in our listening audience today, listening to our radio station, can say an amen to that as well. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. That's the first and great commandment, that we are to love God with all of our being. Make him first and foremost in everything of our life. I think of Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 7, in verses 44 through 47, where her ministry to Jesus was foremost. She loved him with all of her heart. She was so thankful for the forgiveness that he had extended, the grace that he had given to her. And she knew that she had many sins, and yet she came to Jesus, weeping at his feet, washing his feet with her tears, and wiping them with her hair. And she showed her love for Jesus. And think about this in Mark chapter 12, verses 42 through 44, where the poor widow, who gave everything that she had. You know, it was unlike of the rich people who came through. They dropped a few little pennies here or there. It was just nothing to them. There was no sacrifice from them. They just gave a little bit from their abundance. And this lady, this dropped in this little mite, the widow gave everything. She made a tremendous sacrifice for Jesus because she loved him. You know, loving to the glory of God simply means that our affections for God and for his word and for his work are such that they can be easily read and seen by everybody around us. I believe that we have many examples of that in the New Testament. Paul and the people that he associated with, they were in love with Jesus. They gave everything for him. Paul gave his whole life once he was converted to the work and to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You think in Acts chapter 7 about Stephen, who was willing to serve Jesus with all of his heart, and he was willing to even sacrifice his life for the truth of God's word. True love means renunciation of all the personal claims that we have. That's mine. You know, in Sabbath school, we talked about that and how children are born selfish, and that it is only through a conversion of the heart that Jesus changes that in every one of us. We grow up with that. Well, we often want to claim everything for ours, and yet Jesus claims us as his, because he bought us with a price. He not only made us, created us, but he paid the price for our salvation through his own shed blood at Calvary. Loving Christ, I believe, is cross-bearing. And Jesus instructs us to bear our cross on a daily basis for him. Hating to the glory of God. Well, this is my ideal. Is that when I looked at this text and I saw how Jesus acts with people, his ministry, Jesus hated sin. Can you agree with that? He hated iniquity. He hated hypocrisy. He hated every evil way. He hated all of the sinful pleasures of the world. But yet Jesus was very, very abundant in his grace, his mercy, his compassion, his tenderness, his help for others. Jesus was balanced. He hated evil and loved righteousness. And that made him very balanced in his life. And that's what Jesus wants for us today. He wants us to be balanced in our love for him and for the righteousness that he wants us to live. He wants us to hate evil and sin and hypocrisy. He wants to hate all of these, us to hate all of the sinful pleasures of this world. And he wants us to be balanced in our life. And too often we get off balance. But we need to look to Jesus. We need to use him as our model of how we're to live our lives. No one can serve two masters. And that's what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We cannot be halfway in a relationship with God and halfway in the world. We're either all of God's or we're not his at all. Can you agree with that? How can a woman be half pregnant? Is it possible? I don't think so. And I don't think we can be halfway in love with Jesus. Either we love Jesus with all of our heart, with our whole being, or we don't love him at all. And we can't be halfway in a relationship with him. Either we're in a loving relationship with Jesus, or we're not in one with him at all. A double-minded person is unstable in all of his ways, is what James chapter 1, verse 8 tells us. We cannot have a halfway relationship with Jesus. Hosea, the prophet, talked about that kind of love for God. He called him a cake half-baked and not turned. Burn on one side, crispy done on one side, and just an old gooey mess on the other. And God wants us to be in a complete relationship with him, to love him above everything else in this world. I believe that there are people around, everywhere, that has a double standard. And I believe that it was brought out in our Sabbath school today how oftentimes we are one way when we come to church or when we're around our church family. And we act and talk and do things differently when we're away from everybody else. And I believe that Jesus wants us to be consistent in our life no matter where we're at. He wants us to be the same people at church and the same person at home. Because this is the thing that oftentimes we forget, that there is no place that we can go that we can escape God. No matter where we run to in this world, God is still there. He's everywhere. And we cannot escape that. So we just need to have this thought that even though our church friends may not be with us when we go somewhere, when we're doing something, we ought to know this, that God's Holy Spirit is always there. His angels are watching over us. Jesus is always there with us. He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end of the world. And so we must keep this thought in mind that even if our church members are not looking, Jesus is. And he wants us to be balanced in our life, friends, to hate everything that is evil and that what it represents, and to love Jesus with all of our heart, mind, and all of our being. And if we're set our affections on the things above, friends, we will do both. We will love to the glory of God, and we will hate those things that tarnish that righteousness and glory of Jesus Christ. We are to love righteousness and to hate iniquity. God wants us to be balanced. And I hope as you've listened to this message today that God will convict you in your heart to be balanced like Jesus. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the teachings of your word, but I thank you, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us about you. And I pray, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit comes into our heart and convicts us of our need for change, and that you show us, Lord, where we have to change things so that we can be balanced in the way that you are. That we could love you with all of our heart, with all of our being, and we could love our neighbors as ourselves, but we could hate all of the evil that surrounds us and pervades our life. I pray today, Lord, you would keep us victorious in your care, and that you would shed your blood for us on the cross and apply it to our life on a daily basis. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessing to us. I thank you for hearing this prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.